Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. My name is Ronsley, and this is We Are Podcast 345 with the legend that is Bree Seely. I am in sunny Dubai recording this intro for you, and this conversation with Bree is amazing. Every conversation with Bree is amazing because she is one of the most smartest entrepreneurial coaches that I have met. And she's doing some amazing work, including some really cool events that she's coming up with. She talks about how she uses her podcast to get all these new ideas out and also to how she engages with her audience. It's like one of the most useful conversations that you can listen to because it'll give you ideas that you might probably not have thought of before. So come on, let's learn.
You can't find your voice if you don't use it. This is We Are Podcast, formerly called Should I Start a Podcast? A podcast for podcasters who want a podcast that grows their business and brand. How many times can we say podcast in a sentence? Here's your host, Ronsley. He has interviewed more than 1,500 people, has been listened to over 5 million times in 133 countries. He has helped create over 1,100 podcasts for businesses, brands, and personalities. He's been doing this for more than a decade. Get ready to take notes. Enjoy the show.
Bree Seely, so good to have you back in podcast conversation mode, this time for a very specific reason, your podcast and the work you've been doing. Congratulations on all the work you've been doing for all these years. You know, let's talk about specifically what has changed for you since the world changed in COVID, and how is the podcast playing a role in all that?
Yeah, so I'm currently going through a big rebrand. And it's named the same thing as it is my podcast. And kind of what I've been doing to market it is interviewing the speakers through the podcast to then leverage that impact with their audiences to get more visibility and views for the event. And then it's also inspired me to start a nonprofit. And it's like, it has literally spun my entire business an entirely new direction. And I launched this podcast April of 2020. So it was like, but 2 weeks after the world shut down, basically. And it's kind of, the topic of it is timely. The timing of it was like perfect. And it really, truly, my podcast has spun my life and business in a completely different direction.
First of all, congratulations. Let's kind of start with your podcast journey. How did you get into it? What was the first one like? And ladies and gentlemen, BreeSeely.com is where you go to find all the cool stuff she's up to. So Bree, what's your podcasting journey been like?
Yeah, I started my first podcast in 2016 and was actually with a business partner as part of a different business that we co-owned and joint owned. And what we would do is it was an interview-based show. Sometimes it was just the two of us, but sometimes it was the two of us interviewing another person. She and I ended up shutting our business down, going separate ways, ending our friendship. But what that experience gave to me was just the know-how of doing a podcast and the understanding that I had enough to say on a podcast every single week and being able to have different conversations and even solo episodes and all that stuff. And so I went from that one to launching another podcast aligned with my book launch in end of 2017. And then that spun into a different podcast that was called But How, because that's the question I get the most from entrepreneurs. Still today, I did a webinar. Someone was like, but how do I do that? And I'm like, oh, that question, it just plagues me. And then that one I shut down and I paused my podcasting journey for a little bit just because it got to be a lot. That was a solo podcast and it just got to be a lot to keep up with. And then this one was born out of a conversation I had with a past client. And it initially was called The Success Diaries, and then it got rebranded last year into Success Becomes Me. And so who knows if this will be the final branding. I'm not fully clear on all that yet, but I'm just taking it kind of one step at a time because The truth is I've been an entrepreneur since 2007. my first business was in fashion design.
Yeah.
And I had my own fashion label for 8 years.
Yeah.
And the one thing I know about entrepreneurship is that change is the only constant.
Fascinating. I mean, it's good to always be in that position where you can adapt and move and change and, you know, be responsive. Some people see it from a different perspective. And we've kind of also got to be in this position where we can hear the other person's perspective so that we can genuinely foster the right conversation around this change we want to create. Because you mentioned change being the only constant. I'd love you to talk about that. I'd love you to talk about how that has evolved for you as well. And what is the message you want to get out?
Yeah. I mean, initially when I started this business in 2015, I knew that I wanted to serve women. And I kind of went with that. I wasn't necessarily just serving entrepreneurs. But what's interesting is the unfolding of it. And one thing that I teach people a lot and have done in my own journey as well is just kind of finding that like through line and really finding that why, and not only my why, but also my customer's why. Each of those women had a very specific vision to do a very specific thing. And that doesn't mean that should be your vision, but let's get into your vision. Let's figure out why you're here and let's help you make a lot of money with it, because women are historically underfunded. Our businesses historically make significantly less money. You add on things like Black women-owned businesses only get 0.5% of funding, right? So that's kind of where my mission has stemmed from, is giving resources, opportunities, a voice, the power from within for historically kind of underrepresented, underserved communities to be able to go out and do big things and not be hindered by the restrictions of the past. Because really, there's no gatekeepers anymore. And most of the gatekeepers that almost all of us are facing right now are within ourselves. Mm. So it's helping women get over those things so that they can go out and do what they're here to do.
Yeah. But I think when it comes to certain, like when you talk about gatekeepers, gatekeepers do come into question when you're kind of looking for funding from a different source that you can't necessarily control. So I feel like there's this really interesting entrepreneurship dilemma where entrepreneurs now are just looking for funding versus looking for value exchange and looking for a market. And I wonder how much of that plays into the creation of new businesses in the new entrepreneurship world, because a lot of us are just seeing social media, for example, as a vision board. And a lot that's on social media is just the highlight reel. It's not necessarily the full picture. So I wonder, how does that play into the voice that you give? Like, there's all these different perspectives, and how do you balance that in conversation?
I try to be just really transparent with entrepreneurs, and I actually highly discourage women from going after funding from the get-go. I have a lot of new entrepreneurs come to me and then they're like, well, I can't get started yet because I don't have funding. And my perspective is always, okay, but how can you get started today? Right? Even if it's with a minimum viable product, even if it's with, you know, one revenue stream, even if it's not the revenue stream, like how can you get started? Because this idea of like, oh, well, I'm going to wait until it's perfect. I'm going to wait until I get funding. You're going to spend your entire life waiting. So as women, as minorities, as like, that's likely not going to be our story for at least a little while longer. And so I like to bring to the conversation, what is the way that we can get started in a small way that's going to help you build so that you can then inevitably go for that funding? Then the other thing I'll say too is that a lot of new entrepreneurs who do get funding, I just worked with a woman. I had a contract with another company and I was working with one of their lenders. And all I thought every time I talked to her was, I wish she had never got funding. And not because I wish her ill, but because she has no idea what she's doing. And instead of having a minimum viable product, she went out and built this big thing that she now does not have customers for. She does not know how to market. She is not making the money she needs to make to pay back the loan. and it breaks my heart. And so I really discourage women, especially new entrepreneurs, from going out and getting funding immediately, because the likelihood of them using it on the things they need to grow their business is slim to none. Yeah. So I like to start at the very basics, get going, get something out there, get money coming in, get some metrics, get some data, and then let's talk about the next step.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you touched on a really interesting point, which is a pet peeve of mine in the entrepreneurship world, is people that are just learning themselves are teaching others. And it's like this, you know, bunch of sixth graders learning from a seventh grader. And especially in the AI world, where you've got to really understand what's going on with the machines and really give proper information as to how we're training the machines and what's the best way to converse with them and what's the best way to train them and what's the best way to get a result or an outcome. And it's been the case, and it's become this new entrepreneurship model. And also this whole school of thought around, why should I lose my money? Let's lose someone else's money. I don't know where they got that from. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, because it seems more and more to be out there. Like, maybe I'm only noticing it now, that there are health coaches and business coaches that are experts in AI that are saying things that are not true at all. And I'm like, why are you saying it? You don't have to comment on everything, right?
There's a lot of people that, I mean, kind of like the gold rush, right? That are just clinging on to the next big thing, right? Here's how I differentiate people in these marketplaces. Anyone that says, here's how I do it, follow my five steps, is probably full of, like, they're teaching you their pathway rather than teaching you the fundamentals of what you actually need to know. So what I teach, I don't teach like, here's how I did it. I teach, here's the fundamental building blocks of business, period. Like, and so there's a big difference between someone being like, follow my five steps, and someone that's like, here's what it takes to actually have a successful business. First red flag is anyone that's like, if you just do what I did, you'll become a seven-figure entrepreneur. No, they won't. They will not. And then anyone who's like, biggest testimonial is themselves. Like, for example, if you go to my website, I have a page that has, I think, close to 200 testimonials on it right now. And most of them are video and screenshots. Anyone can put any testimonial on any page with any stock photo and any wording. Anyone can. So if you don't know where those testimonials are coming from, vet the people that you're hiring. And so look out for, here's how I did it, don't hire those people. And look out for anyone whose biggest testimonial is themselves, or even testimonials that are just photos and text, because those can very easily be made up.
Hey, it's Mick Hawes, host of The Toolshed. I love making my podcast, and that's primarily because Ronsley has helped me avoid a whole bunch of really basic mistakes that would have cost me a whole bunch of time, money, and energy. And Rons has compiled a list of these mistakes and how to avoid them, which is really a steal. You can get your copy where I downloaded mine at mistakes.wearepodcast.com. That is mistakes.wearepodcast.com. We Are Podcast. You can't find your voice if you don't use it.
I love those distinctions, because I never thought of them, but when you say them, they're like, yeah, of course, that's so true and so transparent when someone says that, because you see these people, and I see these people a lot, especially when you are at events, and they have this massive following, and they're saying exactly to your point, here's my steps, but their business acumen is not there. You can tell that anything that differs from that line is just not part of the equation. And you're like, well, what if someone doesn't want to launch in a 7-day formula or whatever you're using right now, whatever, right? So I find that fascinating. I love that you bring a voice to that. Let's focus on the podcast, because we could go down this path. What do you do before you start recording? And then I want to talk about what you do during and then after, but what, let's focus on the first initial part first. Like, how do you kind of ideate that I want this person on? And then what do you do before you hit record?
A lot of the podcast guests I've had, you know, I have, being an entrepreneur since 2007, I have a lot of relationships and I've met a lot of people. So I would say the majority of my podcast episodes are people that either I have an already established relationship with, or we've at least had some sort of conversation. 99% of my podcast episodes are by invitation. Mm. So what I do leading up to a podcast episode is I build relationships with people. I get to understand them and know who they are. And if I feel compelled, if I feel inspired, then I will extend an invitation. I generally don't have calls with people where like the end goal or end result is I'm going to invite you on my podcast. I just don't do that. It's just organic meetings that I have. I think you and I had an organic connection and we just got together and talked. And then I was like, let's do a podcast swap, right? Like years ago. And so most of my podcasts are by invitation. So I already kind of know the general gist or direction, or like maybe they'll say something even just in our connection call that I'm like, that thing, let's talk about that. Would you bring that to my podcast? Like, would you bring that perspective to my podcast? So for the most part, I start with kind of similar questions. And then I don't really prep a lot of questions because I just go with the flow of where the conversation takes us. For solo episodes, I definitely prep a little bit more because I want to have like kind of a clear progression in a solo episode. And then afterwards, I do use some AI tools to help me with my descriptions, my blog posts, my social media posts, my, you know, like all the things, my video clips, all that stuff. And then everything gets shipped off to my assistant and she makes magic happen in the ether that I have nothing to do with.
Sounds like a dream. I mean, that's every podcaster's dream, right? Just have the conversation and let everything else be done. I'm curious to hear you mention AI with that tonality. What kind of AI tools do you use and how has it shortened the process or lengthened the process, or what has it done to change what you've been doing before?
Yeah. So there's a great tool called Vidyo. It's Vidyo. And basically what you do is you upload the video into it and it spits out like 10, sometimes 15, less than 1 minute clips that then you can add subtitles to. You can change the colors, you can add a progress bar, you can make it split screen so that both images are in there. You can like play all sorts of ways with it. That's been invaluable because having to sift through a 30-minute episode to identify the clips and then put it into a clipping software to then crop the clips and then export them and then save them. And like, it saves me so much time. Now, not saying I just did one yesterday. I'm not saying that it pops out the perfect clips. You still have to review them, change the timestamp, like do some things. But for the most part, it's a great place to start so that you're not just going in blind, having to like do it from scratch. The other one I use a lot is called CapShow. And that one is you upload the audio into their portal and it is a specific to podcasting tool that creates the title, multiple titles for you to choose from, description, social media posts, TikTok scripts, LinkedIn articles, blog posts, emails, like all sorts of stuff, and then creating the content around it. Mm. And then for my solo episodes, I use writeflow.ai, which really helps. You know, I'll put in like, hey, I want to do a podcast episode about this topic. And like, kind of here's the three bullet points. And it will help me kind of like flesh out some ideas. And I don't use the script as is, but it helps, again, give me that kind of like jumping off point to be like, oh, I can dive into this, or I can talk about that, or that's a really good point it made, or whatever. So depending on the episode, like three different tools I use.
Yeah. So when you're using Writeflow in particular, like what kind of menu item are you using? What's the one that stands out that delivers results for you?
It's either the Write Me a Podcast script or the Write Me an Overview. Sometimes I'll actually even do the questions for a podcast. Mm-hmm. There was one I did where I generated a list of questions based on what I wanted to talk about. And then instead of, because I wasn't interviewing anyone, I just walked through for myself. I didn't ask myself the questions, but I was like, okay, now we're going to talk about this, right? And so I used it to kind of help me. But there's a few podcast prompts in there that I use that have been really helpful.
Amazing. So, okay, so now that you've got your podcast done, recorded, and all your assets are ready, like you have your reels and images and articles and show notes and everything is done, what is your process then, and how are you getting new listeners or new consumers to the podcast?
So right now, a lot of what we've been doing, like I said, is featuring the speakers for our upcoming event. And so all of that gets shipped off to them to be added to their social media things. We did start writing LinkedIn articles this year, which has been really helpful. We do an SEO blog for every single one of them, which has been really helpful. And I've been SEOing a portion of my website towards like success podcasts to be helping with that as well. And then obviously posting on all of the socials, like putting stuff everywhere. I have like a template that we use that gets filled in with all of the AI stuff. And then my assistant basically takes it all and copies and pastes everything into all the different platforms on the different days. You know, we have 2 LinkedIn posts and a LinkedIn article that go out. We have 1 Instagram post, 2 Facebook posts. It goes up in my private community of individuals. Like it just, all the things.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about adding YouTube to it. I haven't gotten there yet, but it's like here. It's percolating.
It's big. If I can push you over the line, I think you should, because they are favoring, YouTube podcasts. And a lot of people are saying that, when you ask them, where have you heard the podcast? They're saying YouTube, even though, Apple and Spotify have been around for ages. It's funny that
right.
A lot of people are saying YouTube, whether they've heard it on YouTube or whether they've heard it somewhere else, but they just think it's YouTube is also really interesting. So yeah, I would say.
Have you started using the YouTube podcast section?
Yeah. I've started using that and started to. Okay. So yes and no. So with the new podcast, My AI Love Affair, it goes on to YouTube, and I wanted to have the first few weeks without switching on the podcast, so you can create your own podcast. Mm-hmm. So from next week, we're going to switch that on and see the difference. But we can already see the difference right now in posting for My AI Love Affair versus We Are Podcast, for example, and also posting shorts. And even though it's such a new channel, I mean, like for me, I think that a new channel, even getting 100 new listeners, watchers, anything, an audience, is way better than not, right? And that 100 will hopefully grow, and something is better than nothing. And, YouTube's been pretty good for the new show, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm interested. I just haven't pulled the trigger yet, but a lot of it is once things get onto my computer, I immediately delete the video. And so I just haven't had the videos of my podcast interviews to put up there, but I think it might be something after the conference, the live event is over. I think that might be something that I do.
I think having a proper video strategy and then an audio strategy as well, like, having those is going to be the new way forward, because video is being prioritized in a lot of these platforms. So we kind of need to capture it, which was never a thing before. Let's talk about this new pivot in the business. It's obviously exciting you, because you can hear it the way you're saying things. How is it structured and why is it structured like this? And what's the goal for the year?
Yeah. So I am rebranding my business, and I'm actually getting rid of the 2 revenue streams that have been in my business since 2017, I think. And I'm not getting rid of them because there's anything wrong with them. In fact, they're actually really great revenue streams. They've made huge impacts and done great things in the world. I'm just taking my business in a different direction. And so with the advent of the nonprofit, I was like, okay, what impact do we want to make? Like, yes, it's for women entrepreneurs, but what are we actually doing with it? It's not just hosting an event. Like, what are we actually doing? And so what I'm doing is my one program, which is specifically for new entrepreneurs, is basically going to start being run by the nonprofit. And what we're doing is basically getting funding and creating endowment scholarships to be able to run at first. So 2024 will be the first year, 100 individuals through that program, under-resourced, underrepresented individuals who maybe can't afford to go through an entrepreneurial training program to be able to go through this. It's 6 months. They get 3 coaches, they get community support and mentorship, they get 12 modules, they get like all sorts of stuff to help them go from whatever their idea is stress testing their idea, making sure that it's, you know, going to be viable in the marketplace, to launching their business, to then having support on the other side as well. You know, I think about, there's a community in Tulsa that is severely under-resourced. They just got a grocery store, right? Like, I met a girl who grew up there, and she told me about how her and her mom had to take the bus 45 minutes to go to Walgreens to get toilet paper in each direction. You think about, you know, a single mom who is probably working at least two, if not three jobs for 10, 12 bucks an hour, who has to take an hour and a half out of her week to go buy toilet paper. Like, it just breaks my heart. And there's so many more options available that I'm like, we need to be teaching these individuals what it's like to build businesses and giving them the tools and knowledge that they need and support to do this. Because if you think about a community like that, say 100 individuals from that community are going through this entrepreneurial program and launching businesses. If each of those businesses start bringing in even $5,000 a month, that's $500,000 a month in that community that was not there before. Then let's say those entrepreneurs get up to 10 grand a month. That's $1 million a month of cash infused into that community that wasn't there before. Like, I just start thinking about the possibilities and then even the lives that it's changing, not only for that single mom, but for her kids, right? She's now not working three jobs and she's able to be home with them more. She's able to, like, it just, it's such a shift for me that I'm like, I'm still going to be coaching and consulting entrepreneurs. I'm still going to be doing all those things, but this to me is more of my legacy. Like, this is, I want to be telling these stories of these women that had kind of no opportunities available to them other than a $10 or $12 an hour job, being able to just radically shift their entire life and the lives of their kids as well. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Huge. And being the example, because that's a lot of things, like being the role model for the next generation is such a huge thing. Ladies and gentlemen, BreeSealy.com is where you're going to find all the cool stuff she's up to. And when the rebrand's done, you'll find the new podcast on that site. Thanks, Bree. This has been awesome. Love catching up with you and love hearing all the cool stuff you're up to. I feel like every time we do this, there's another date in the calendar put for the next one because it's so much fun. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, and excited to see what comes next for both of us. You with Right Flow and AI, and me with Infinite Horizons and the nonprofit, and, you know, just taking over the world.
Aren't we just meant for that? Thanks, Bree.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Listen to the back catalog of over 300 episodes by going to wearepodcast.com. If you're looking for something specific, let the We Are Podcast team point you in the right direction. Send us an email on podcast@wearepodcast.com. Also, if you know a business owner who has a podcast, ask them to listen. Share an episode with them. The conversations here are going to save them lots of trial, error, time, and money. Until next week, much love.